Hi class, after learning about the groups and teams and understanding the behavior of people in groups and teams, let's learn a very important topic for human resource management, which is power and politics. And along with that, we'll see later about conflict negotiation and regarding intergroup behaviors. Well, power and politics is something which is very natural in any group or any organization. At times we feel that power and politics are something which is a dirty word. One should not have these kind of things in any organization, but they are very natural, and not necessarily every time power and politics is going to be something which is not desirable in an organization. So we are going to learn about what we mean by power, how it is attained and how it is applied in the organization, and similarly regarding politics. So let's learn about these things, understand the concept of power, what we mean by power, its basis, what are the power tactics, and what are the various factors which affect effectiveness of these tactics. Then we learn about the concept of politics, what is politics and how it affects the behavior of the people and how it is going to affect the organization as a whole. After that, we learn about the concept of conflict. Wherever there are two or more people, or among the groups also, there are going to be some things which are not going to be common to both the parties, something which both the parties desire, and hence there is likelihood of some or the other conflict occurring. So we are going to learn about the various types of conflicts and how to resolve these conflicts once it is there, and what is the importance of conflict for the organizational goals, achievement and effectiveness. We are also going to learn about the concept of negotiation that's naturally needed for the resolution of the conflicts. And we are going to learn about the various techniques of negotiation in the form of, say, avoidance or collaboration or the various other techniques. So let's understand about power. What is power? How we can define power? Well, power implies the ability of one individual to impact the behavior of another, so the other individual behaves according to the first individual's desires. So whatever an individual desires, if he can impact the behavior of other individual, maybe he is a supervisor and he wants to impact the behavior of his subordinate, or maybe he is a leader and he wants to impact the behavior of his followers. Normally we say leadership is basically inspiration or influence, but at times they are there to use their power also. So power means ability to influence or control what people do or think, or it means ability to achieve something or make something happen. So with this, let's understand the difference between leadership and power. What is leadership and what is power? As I had told you, leadership is basically to inspire their followers so that on their own they are going to behave in a way that whatever leader is telling, they are going to follow what the leader is telling. However, in power, what we are telling is he has got certain ways of impacting the behavior of their subordinates or the other person. Not necessarily every time it will be inspiration or the influence of the supervisor or the person who has got the power. Similarly, leadership focuses on the downward influence on followers and minimizes the importance of horizontal and upward influence, while in power, even the horizontal and upward influence also can be there. Leadership mostly emphasizes the style of leaders, that's whether it is autocratic leadership, whether it is benevolent leadership, whether it is charismatic leadership, whether it is transformational leadership, etc., to let the people follow what the leader is telling. However, in power, it incorporates groups as well as power users over other individuals or groups. Here it is extending beyond compliance. So let's understand about the various bases of power. There are two basic ways in which the power is going to act for changing the behavior of the person or impacting the behavior of the person. One is formal power and the other one is personal power. Under formal power, there are three types of powers: coercive power, which is forceful, force is applied, then reward power and legitimate power, while in personal power there are expert power and referent power. So let's understand in detail about these two types of powers. One is formal power and the other is personal power. So what we mean by coercive power? Well, in coercive power, what the person is doing, he is using some force. He has got the way to punish a person if he is not following what he is asking for the follower to do. If that fellow is not complying with his orders, then he has got a power to punish him. And that is why this power can be in the form of either holding back some information which is important to that person, or it can be in the form of giving him demotion or removing him from the job also. This kind of punishments is likely to be there, in which case the person may be having this kind of coercive power. While reward power is something where the superior has got the power whereby he can reward a person either monetarily by giving him promotion, by giving him bonus, by giving him ESOPs, employee stock option plan, by giving him any other benefits in the form of giving him better flat to stay or some perks, or it can be in the form of say public appreciation or maybe in the form of certificate awarding, etc., so that either monetarily or non-monetarily a person is rewarded for the behavior he is having in the organization. So with this kind of power, he can influence the behavior of his subordinates or the other person. So reward power is something which is a kind of formal power again. And the third one is legitimate power. Due to the position of the person, he has got legal power over the subordinate, and hence people are going to follow him whatever he says. For example, a manager is going to have power over the subordinates. So legitimate power is something which is due to his structural position in the organization. Then comes personal power, where it can be expert power, which is due to expertise. Usually in case of professionals like lawyers, doctors, the professors in the university, they have got expert power in that particular subject in which they are professionals, like chartered accountants and lawyers and all. So due to that, people are going to respect him, and due to that, people are going to follow him whatever he says. So that's the personal power he's got. And the referent power is something which is due to the awe the other person feels about that person, the aura that that person has got in the form of something very great, a charismatic leader. He's got a referent power. So these are the two kinds of personal power which can affect the influence the behavior of the others. Well, out of the two kinds of power, formal power and personal power, one can say formal power is due to the person's status in the organization, while a personal power is not due to that, it is due to some expertise or due to some charismatic personality or some personal traits for which people are going to revere him. So out of the two powers, personal power is going to have more effect, and of course legitimate power among the formal powers will be having more effect on the person to behave as the person with that power is going to expect him to behave. Coercive power as a last resort should be used in case of emergencies and all. However, usually there is the person who is going to follow the behavior, follow and do that behavior which the other person wants due to his coercive power, will do it if at all, but he won't be happy about it. This will lead to less job satisfaction and less loyalty to the company in future, and there is a likelihood that a person may leave the organization later. So one can understand that these are the various forms and power out of which the personal powers are going to be more effective. So let's understand about dependence, which is the key to power. There are three kinds of things or determinants of power, one can say: importance of it, scarcity, and if there is no substitutability, one cannot substitute that thing, then that person will have power, because then people are dependent on him for various aspects. One is importance. Dependence will not be created if no one desires what you have. For example, engineers will be most powerful in technological company, where their expertise as engineer is very much essential to produce those goods or to give those services which are required to be performed for those equipments or tools or for those machines which are going to be produced in that company, which may be utilized by various people or various other industries if it is B2B kind of industry that these engineers are working for. And hence, one can easily understand that engineers are going to be most powerful in a technological company, while if a doctor is appointed in that manufacturing company, which is basically an engineering company, although he is an expert in medical field, but since it is a technological company, his status will be low as compared to the engineers, and they won't be that powerful. While in a case of hospital, which is basically a healthcare industry, naturally doctors will be having much higher power as compared to maintenance engineers, electrical engineers or structural engineers who are also working in the hospital. So similarly, marketing will be critical for all consumer goods company, because ultimately whatever consumer goods are prepared, produced by the company, unless they are sold, lot of inventory will be lying which will become obsolete later, and hence the company cannot survive or sustain or grow if the marketing department is not strong. So hence marketing people are going to be very critical, and they are going to be more powerful in a consumer goods company. Similarly, scarcity, that means if there is low supply than demand, in that case the labor can negotiate for higher compensation because they are scarce. In Mumbai, if we see, nursing profession is comparatively a scarce profession, because most of the nurses are going to either Middle East or Australia, New Zealand or US, because they get much higher pay there, and hence even though lot of corporate hospitals are opening in Mumbai or in Delhi and Madras and all, usually there is a scarcity of nurses, because it is very difficult to get highly qualified and competent nurses to work for India, because they are going to get much higher pay there in other part of the world, where also there is lot of scarcity, because that kind of technically competent people are not available in those countries, and hence even here there is a lot of scarcity. So they have got a power to negotiate with the HR person or the top management, so that they have to be given higher pay and perks. Similarly, when there is no substitute available for that particular thing, you have got a monopoly which is not replaceable, then these resources will have higher power, and those organizations who are having these kinds of resources will be having higher power as compared to other organizations. If they are suppliers, they will be higher power for the raw materials to be charged to the company whoever need them, because there is no substitute available. Similarly, those who are highly knowledgeable, today knowledge is power. In IT industry, in mobile industry, these people who are highly knowledgeable about the technology and who are keeping upgraded all the time, naturally there is no substitute for them available, in which case they will be having high power over the other engineers and other kind of employees. So let's understand about the various power tactics which are used to have the impact of the power on the people, so that they are going to behave as needed by the person having power. So some of these techniques are, one is legitimacy. Well, when a person is technically and organizing the organization, whenever a person is kept at a higher position and a higher role is given to that person, naturally he has got legitimate power over his subordinates, and because of the position, because of the status he is having, say top management or VP of that department, naturally will be having legitimacy to have more power as compared to the lower people, and hence he can use this legitimate power to get the work done from the subordinates because of his position. Similarly, the other tactic will be rational persuasion. There are certain people who have got high intelligence, high logic to be applied while influencing the other people and giving them logical perspective of why he should perform in a particular way, why he should behave in a particular way. That's a rationality he is giving, and because of this rationality, that person will be naturally going towards that kind of behavior. And secondly, some of them are going to persuade them further to go on achieving the goals by this kind of rational persuasion, and hence they have got the power, because they know in and out of that particular thing, they know the importance and significance of it, and they can persuade rationally to the lower people so that they are going to behave in a way that is wanted by the organization and that is wanted by that manager. Similarly, there are some people who are emotionally highly charged, and they give inspirational speeches and appeals to the lower people. Usually those who are charismatic leaders, they have got inspirational appeals to the lower people or to their followers, whereby they have got the power to mold the emotions of those people in a particular direction, so that they are highly appreciating this kind of things and they go towards achieving those goals by the proper behavior that is needed to be done. These inspiration appeals can be in a positive direction or can be in a negative direction with certain charismatic people. Well, Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, they used to give lot of inspirational appeals to people, and people were following them. Whatever they used to say, people were following them. Similarly, there are certain other charismatic leaders like Hitler and some of the leaders in the Pakistan and other places where there are terrorists who are going to follow those leaders also, although they are in a negative way, but because of their inspirational appeals, they are going to follow that. So that's a power they have got. Every time it may not have positive effect. Then comes consultation, where some of the people have got the knack of consulting the others by their expertise and make them understand the importance of that behavior, and then that's how they have got the power to make that person behave in a way he wants or he desires. There are some people who have got the power for exchange. For example, they say that if you are going to achieve this kind of results, I can give you promotion within 2 years instead of 3 years, which is the norm for the company. So they can do it in some exchange way, or they can give some increment or incentive for that, and that's how they have got power over the people. There are some people who have personal appeals because of their charisma, because of their personal traits or the referent power they have got, for example, Amitabh Bachchan, Shah Rukh Khan, etc. Because of their personal appeals, people are going to follow them, and that's how they have got a power over other people, and they can get the behavior of their people done as per their desires. Then comes ingratiation. That means if you are indebted to that person, if he has helped you in time of need, then naturally you are indebted to that person, and because of that you are going to behave as per his desire. So that's ingratiation. While some people are very powerful due to their legitimate powers, or due to their reward power, or formal type of powers if they have got, or if they have got some connections which are at a higher level, because of that people are afraid that if we don't follow him, if we don't follow what he is telling, it can have adverse effect on our career, etc. In that case, they can pressurize those people to do what they want. Or because some of the people in a negative way also are pressurizing the lower people, for example, some gundas or people who have got the negative kind of power, because they have got certain people under them who are highly powerful because of their clinch at the political people, etc. They can pressurize the lower people. While there are some people who have got coalitions, like they have made a coterie among the top people, and because of that they have got power that if people are not going to follow them, they can get anything done from those top people because of the coalition they have got with them, and that's how they develop power which will be effective over the people. So similarly, in case of team or group also, this kind of coalition may occur among the group of 12. Suppose 3 to 4 people have made a coalition, and usually they are able to dominate this kind of group or team, and hence they have got that kind of power over the others to shift their thinking also. So with this, let us understand about the politics. Well, power and politics usually goes together. So what is politics in that case? Politics is the idea and activities used by people within a particular group to try to get power. So there are numerous definitions. However, organization politics mainly involves using of power to impact decision making in the organization, or to engage in self-benefiting and undesirable behavior. Here usually politics is used so that a person gets benefit himself. So it is for their self-benefits, and it can have even unethical behaviors, so that he is interested in achieving his goals by whatever means possible. So that's a politics. Usually we say organizational politics is dirty politics. They are either having the coterie form, or they are very close to the higher people somehow. They go always out of the way to polish them or butter them, and ultimately they can play a lot of politics for their individual gains. So what are the various factors which can contribute to the political behavior? There are certain individual factors, and there are certain organizational factors also. As far as the individual factors are concerned, the personality trait of a person will be important for this kind of political behavior. If a person is self-monitoring, and he's got internal locus of control, and he's got high need for power. We have seen in McClellan's theory of motivation, need for power. So if a person is self-monitoring, if a person is having internal locus of control, that means he believes that external factors are not that important, but internal factors itself are more important for achieving the goals, And if he's got a high need for power, that means he wants power to be used over the others, and this kind of personality traits when a person is having, usually he is going to be highly political for his own benefits. There are some individual investments in the organizations which are high, then by illegitimate means also he is going to achieve his power, and he is going to achieve the things he wants through various political activities. There are perceived alternatives in the form of when they are high, where individual tends to risk illegitimate political actions, and there are expectations of success when a person is having, then he may use any unethical means also to achieve the success and use lot of politics. Thank you.